Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're joining me this evening because we are going to be talking about a journal that is a complement to a book that I did an interview on a few months back. The book is called Ghost Flower. Now, this is written by a gentleman, William F. Merck II, and he liked to be called Bill. And he was a guest on my show more than once, and sadly, he ended up passing away shortly after he had completed this book. And his wife, Cassinia, has taken on the project of completing what they had initially wanted to do, and that was to have the book, Ghost Flower, which is about space, time, and destiny, be complemented with a journal. So now we have the journal, and I have Cassinia Merck with me. And Cassinia, this was something that in a way surprised me. You got this journal done with Ghost Flower very, very quickly, relatively speaking. So you must have had part of this outline in your head and what it is that you and Bill wanted to do with this journal. Welcome to the show again. And this you were able to put together pretty quickly, weren't you?
Donna, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back with you and your audience, and especially to talk about this companion journal, as you say, the complement to Ghost Flower that Bill authored. Maybe if I could give you a little bit of background about the journal.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
So during the course of painting the cover and then doing the interior sketches for Ghost Flower, this was all done after Bill had passed and we were packaging the book to be published. Many of those sketches started to relate to one another. And I knew then that there would be something else to do with Ghost Flower. So we published Ghost Flower, and then there were, I think, 44 sketches in the book. And the sketches in the book are, if you will, 2 inches by 2 inches. So you as a reader may see the sketch, but you may not see how some of the sketches relate to each other. But I was knowing that and feeling that as I started sketching different ones and seeing how they related and then making those relationships and other sketches. So that's what the journal does, is it's a presentation of the sketches as I see how they would flow and be combined together. But we also tie it back to the chapters in Ghost Flower to add those spiritual and philosophical questions to prompt the reader to really think about things in Ghost Flower. So it's an opportunity to, if you want to sketch in the journal or write your thoughts in the journal, it's really set up for that to connect to the main Ghost Flower book.
One of the things I think we need to share with my audience as well, because we have listeners that didn't hear about our conversation relative to the show Ghost Flower, which has become a bestseller on Amazon, if I remember your information that you had sent me correctly, which is wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The story itself, Bill had a knack for writing, and after he had gone into retirement, having been very much engaged in the academic environment, this was something that he covered multiple genres. And as a writer, he had a book about his life, what it was like growing up. He also published a book on leadership. And then he came out with Ghost Flower, and sadly, it passed away in March of 2024. But with Ghost Flower, Bill did something incredibly different. He put together this novel that just like the subtitle of, you know, space, time, destiny, all of this was incorporated in this book. It is a phenomenal read because it is something I would never really have expected that he would come out with. So it gives a demonstration just on what he's accomplished, how people can go into different genres as writers. And he did this very effectively. And why don't we give sort of a little bit of a rundown relative to Ghost Flower, and then we can chat more about the journal, because the journal has some unique aspects about it as well.
Okay, so Ghost Flower is actually set, the story starts in the future with a team that is trying to find a cure for a pandemic. In order to do that, they do time travel to 1585 to plant clues for the future. And they're planting clues about a special flower that has these healing properties that was actually brought thousands of years prior to that by aliens from the Andromeda Galaxy. So we have three significant time periods in this book. And it all revolves around this humanitarian mission. And I see Bill as a great humanitarian, so it's no surprise that he would, in this book, combine everything for a humanitarian mission to really help people in the future. And so along the way, there are historical characters, there is adventure, there's action, there is romance. So he really covers so many things, but you've said this, that he, and I see that he's done this in a masterful way, and that is he brings in these properties, these different aspects from his leadership book, and so some of the characters are displaying these leadership qualities, and then each of the characters is developed such that you get a sense of their background and how their lives are being shaped. And that goes back to some of the philosophy in Breadcrumbs, Finding the Philosophy of Life. So this book, Ghost Flower, really includes many of the aspects of his first two books, but has so much more with this big picture of humanitarian mission.
When you were doing the journal, and this is something where the artwork that you have in Ghost Flower, which you've already mentioned, but each of the illustrations has, as you said, a flow. And on the cover of your book, there are the illustrations, and up in the, I would say, the middle of the cover to the upper right side, there are two circular diagrams, if you will, and that represents twin souls. You and Bill had a very, very special connection, and that was drawn relative to that, and that is the very first thing that you bring out in your journal, because it represents the stars. It represents the people from another time frame that, to, for whatever reasons, and that's in Ghost Flower, their story, when they decide to come in with time travel and what their experiences are coming into the Earth environment of the 1500s. And this is quite a challenge for them. This is quite a challenge. But Golan is the name that he gave to the people that end up coming into the Earth environment, but in a whole different time dimension. That is something that a lot of people are fascinated with. Time machines are really great. But these two symbols that you put on the cover, that is representation of the stars because of the relationship of you, Bill. So you really put in a lot of the artwork, various symbolism and meaning because you felt that that was necessary to be added to the story. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And early on, when I started drawing these images for the cover of Ghost Flower, I started drawing the stars, painting the stars. And this, I call it the twin star, which is one soul and two hearts. To me, I know that Bill was right next to me as I was painting this, and I didn't know how I was going to do the center until he was standing there. I know he was standing there right next to me. And so I know this to me is so powerful because of our connection. And so we had to weave it into the book, but then it's now on the cover of the Companion Journal, and it will be on our grave tablets, the slabs at our graves. I have a design for that, and that is how this symbol is so important to me that I am putting it there as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, something that is occurring with a lot of people today, there are more and more, what do I want to say, recordings of spacecraft, if you will, unidentified flying objects, UFOs. And there are so many stories. I shared one on a program recently with a scientist, a researcher, professor, that knew a group of people down near Belize and what she found, the stories of what their experiences were. So when you bring that in, when Bill brought that story in Ghost Flower, part of it was to convey the understanding that we're not alone. And I have just recently noticed certain things on social media, if you will, where people in government environments are saying, basically, and I mean, these are my words, not their words, but basically, we are not alone. That there's a lot going on in the universe. And yes, we have the documentations of this or that or the other. And more of this is coming forth. So Bill's book, Ghost Flower, was very, very significant. Now, the journal that you've put together that we're discussing this evening, the journal you have put together is, I think, encouraging people to think and to be aware that there is so much in subtlety in the story Ghost Flower that Bill wrote, and you're really wanting them to respond to it, aren't you?
Absolutely. The real purpose of this journal is to really think about some of these philosophical and spiritual questions that are in the journal that tie back to the chapters. That is really the purpose of to really having people discuss these issues, to become engaged, to really think about, would they do some of these things? Would they do time travel? Would they want to do something to save humanity? And it's really to spur that discussion, and then maybe it inspires people to do something else. And so that's really, I think, the purpose to getting some movement, some momentum here about this discussion, about this humanitarian mission.
Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at the drawing of the galaxy, you see, it's the Andromeda galaxy, that Bill encouraged you to include the star symbols, and that the dimension that these Golan scientists came from, time and space is flexible, and it, in a sense, doesn't really exist, but the time travel, it's just a matter of sometimes split seconds. And this is something that with quantum physics that has often been portrayed, let's say, in Star Trek or in a number of the sci-fi programs. You know, it's transport. You go from point A to point B, and it happens just in a split second. This is something that the mind is able to do, but the physical transport of someone is often has been written about in ancient documents, and it really is a fascinating topic that movies have even been made about, travel, you know, being able to transcend that time-space continuum as we have so often been educated about. But this is something that was very important to him because he really felt, and with his background in the military, he really felt that this was something we were going to be able to do.
I believe that. He would often, even before writing Ghost Flower, would talk about the universe and that there was so much more that was here that we did not know about, that we didn't have the ability to comprehend. And he was always very much interested in, I want to say science fiction, but really this universe, and are there other universes, and what else is there, and where did we come from? And so these questions he talked about for many, many years. So on the one hand, when you look at the first two books that he wrote, and then there's Ghost Flower, it might be a little bit of a surprise because he's changed, you know, the type of book completely. But knowing him, I think it makes perfect sense that this was something that was brewing within him for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Now, in Ghost Flowers, there is the Tree of Life. And when you did this drawing, you said you saw the Tree of Life with its trunk between South America and Africa. How is it that you made that connection? What was it that made you make that association with South America and Africa?
Well, as I was drawing these sketches, and this was between July and October of last year, I was putting some of these sketches up on our glass patio door here. And I would put them up on the glass, and then I would stand back, and I would really look at them. And I looked at the earth, and I looked at the earth and said, oh, well, there's the Tree of Life there. I see the Tree of Life. So I did the Tree of Life. I did a sketch over the earth sketch, and I drew the Tree of Life, and I saw that trunk right between South America and Africa. And to me, that was an aha moment. That was a learning moment for me because I made that connection, but it just seemed to really pair very well. So in the book, the earth happens early in the book, and then we wove in the Tree of Life early in the book, and then we later, at the end of the book, we closed it with the Tree of Life. So the Tree of Life is really almost bookended in the book. But that's how that came together. But that's what I saw. And so I was learning as I was doing these sketches. And this is some of the, if you were to just look at the Ghost Flower book, you might not make that connection between the earth and the Tree of Life. But I did. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to showcase in the journal. And that's why I positioned the earth, and then the next item would be the Tree of Life. So that's some of how this is organized by how things relate to each other and the synchronicities that were starting to appear for me, and then other things that I wove in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the Ghost Flower, this particular part of the book is very interesting because even today, there are certain species of plants, and of course, all pharmaceuticals come from plants, even the synthetic ones. They have to be able to look at the chemistry if they want to produce something that is going to have the same benefits. We like to call them generic drugs, but it is produced because of the chemistry composition. And there are so many different plants that have not been, let's say, remembered, except by some people that maybe had the presence to write the information down, or they've retained it in their memories. And more people are coming out with information regarding different plants because of the population density of the planet, invasion of areas where many of these plants grew. And that's part of Bill's story in Ghost Flower, too, how through the centuries, this particular species of plant literally disappeared because the animal environment that was present ate it. And it has something to do with, you know, immunity, and there's so much more in the book, Ghost Flower. But the fact of time travel, going back to a time frame, to be able to find Ghost Flower, and it wasn't prolific in the true sense in the story, but you had to know where to look for it. You had to know about it. People had to know about Ghost Flower. People involved with herbalism or understanding the plants in their particular native environment, which may not, you know, exist anywhere else on the planet. It really is a fascinating pattern to look at how things can de-evolve due to just very natural circumstances, like deer and other, you know, elk and other critters deciding that they like to munch and crunch on what tastes good to them, but also the information about how it provided people, you know, immunity. So going back in time to a time frame when it was still being grown or was growing naturally, to be able to get the seeds out of that plant, that's quite a phenomenal thing to think about. Look at the seed banks we have today sometimes that have been able to get ancient seeds and are trying to protect them. And it's so that if we need to have them or something grow, then we have that genetic code to be able to do that. This is a concept that I thought was just very, very intriguing. And Ghost Flower looks a lot like the poppy. The California poppy, in my mind, it's very different, but yet it looks very similar.
Well, I think all of those observations are exactly what Bill was trying to package and put together in this book. And one of the aspects that I think is so important is that this is a natural healing remedy. And Donna, we've talked about this before, but when Bill was it was so strange for us, both of us, that he was in the hospital January to March of 24 with something that the doctors could not figure out why he was having the reaction that he was. And it was off the charts bad. And so it was very strange that he was having this illness, but he had written a book about a pandemic and a cure for it. So it was just very odd that all of that was happening last year. But I think to have a natural healing remedy, I think right now the medical industry, profession, community really needs to look at, is COVID our last pandemic? I'm not sure it is. If there's something in the future, this is all, to me, just positioned to tie in for, you know, being prepared for the future or knowing what's out there. So there are many facets here that Bill has woven in this book to really trigger a lot of thoughts in people. But to mention, again, after the fact, our editor had done some research and found that there was the Great Plague that lasted more than 400 years, and this was a bubonic plague pandemic occurring in Western Eurasia and North Africa from 1346 to 1353. Yet, in a remote village in England, some people managed to resist the plague. The reason why was examined in a documentary, The Riddle of the Plague Survivors, where it was discovered that people who inherited a certain DNA blocking mechanism, a Delta 32 gene, that had been passed down by their European ancestors were not affected. It was later found that AIDS was also blocked by people carrying this gene. This is the kind of thing that really there are so many things tying back to key points in this book, the flower itself, that to me, I see this whole story as real. And that's how strongly I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. I would concur. And I think that's why it's so important to be aware of the past. And this is something, too, that in the modern day, aspect of the book, the today, now, those people that find out about this poppy have found out about it because of ancient documents. And it's like, wow, we've got a situation here. What do we do? And that's why the time travel is so important, because the poppy doesn't exist in our modern day. It's not here. And that's why they're going for it. This is something that I remember seeing a program. It has to be about 20 years ago. I was on a business trip, and it was a Smithsonian program, and it had to do with some researchers going to Africa. And in Africa, they met a man that had a platform. He was, I'll use the term a shaman, probably would it be called a witch doctor by some. But this was a healer, for the summation of the correct term. He was a healer. He had to memorize 3,000 plant species. Now, I don't remember what part of Africa he was in, but that was mandatory for him to be able to serve the people that came to him. And when you think about that, how many of those species of healing plants are still around? You know, weather, climatic changes, it's just all kinds of things that that could easily affect the natural environment, human-caused or not. It's something that really is significant. And that's why the herbalists of today, and so many of them in different cultures, in your Native American cultures, indigenous people, they often talk about things that work and work well. But medical science has not necessarily paid attention. Now, I do know the pharmaceutical companies have sent out researchers around the world. But to be able to look at that genetic patterning and ask the self, how did that evolve? What, you know, what were the conditions then, et cetera? It really does take investigation. But I remember finding out about that, a long time ago, about the genetic marker and a woman and her survivors, you know, the descendants. All of her family that lived at that time died. She didn't. That was one of the people. And it just stunned everyone. How is that possible? How could one survive and all the rest die? That genetic patterning, though, somehow or another was passed along to descendants of a later date. And it's just absolutely fascinating way that genetic patterning can skip a generation, move forward, and all of a sudden pop up again. It's very intriguing. Very intriguing. One of the other components that's in the journal, and it has to do with the representation of women, because the characters that Bill put in from the past, from the different time spectrum, from the future, that come into the past, the women were warriors. The women were highly trained right along with the men. There was no discrimination as there was in the 1500s when they entered that time spectrum. And the adaptation that they had to go through. And look at what we're having to adapt to today. So again, his book, Ghost Flower, complemented by this journal and with the drawings that you have in it, this is something that really gives you pause, because it makes us aware that there is that knowledge that other people of other places and spaces and time and dimension can have that is far superior to what we have. And it's really sort of humbling if you really get down to basics.
It definitely is. And I love that Bill wove in so much, so many aspects and examples of leadership in Ghost Flower, and how the women were promoted in Ghost Flower. Which was probably odd at the time in 1585, but made perfect sense to me that the characters would be, many of the characters would be women, they would have leadership roles, and they would work alongside the men together, and they were a team together. And that was what Bill promoted in everything that he did. And I think this is just another example of showing it's a humanitarian approach to teamwork. Mm-hmm. And He does it, I think, in a very wonderful way, and really shows how the women hold their own and they're leaders and they're respected. And I think what he's doing in that is showing people how we should all treat each other. And that to me is really important. Mm-hmm. That if you're a leader and you have talent, that you have a seat at the table. And all of the people, the characters in the book that he wrote did. And I think that he's trying to say, this is how we should be.
I agree with that. And also the adaptation that people went through, the cooperation, Dan, you mentioned that already, but I think that that is something that is so important that we are looking at today. It's a shift that's being, moved forward with a momentum that I think is somewhat surprising to those of the mindset that has been present for thousands of years, and that it's necessary to make the shift because we have got a lot of very serious issues that need to be looked at today with eyes wide open, not half shut, not going into fantasy or la-la land, but really looking at how significant it is that we're a global community. And that's another message that comes through the book, Ghost Flower. This companion journal, you ask so many questions relative to the content of the book, the illustrations, and you're wanting people to think. When you finished this journal, and now that it is a complement to the book, and it's just recently come out, what kind of a response have you gotten?
Well, so far, very good. It did do well as a bestseller so far on Amazon, so I'm very happy about that, but I have gotten some reactions and some reviews that it does complement the book from the philosophical and spiritual aspects, which is the purpose of this journal, to really bring out some of those questions to inspire people to really talk about and to learn from. So far, this is good. I think we've got a long way to go to really get this in the hands of a lot of people so that we can have book clubs interacting, discussions, questions, sessions. All of that, I think, are going to be in the future of this, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Ksenia, you have a new website. This is one that has been developed, and I want to be sure that my listeners have this information. And this is the website you can go to find out more about Ghost Flower, the journal, Bill's other materials, his two other books as well. And it's Merck, M-E-R-C-K, that's M like Mary, E-R-C-K-I-I, Press.com. So that's MerckIIPress.com. And you can also put in Ksenia Merck. And Ksenia is K-S-E-N-I-A, Merck, M-E-R-C-K. Ksenia, this is just a delight. And I'm so pleased for your accomplishment. It's just beautiful as an accompaniment to Ghost Flower. And I am sure you're going to be kept quite busy with all of the conversations you're going to have with people, and this would make for a wonderful book club conversation piece. I mean, there's just so much here to investigate, and I think it would be something that even young people would enjoy having the opportunity to talk about these facts, because a lot of the young people today really look forward to the time travel and space travel, and their minds are on a future that's going to be very different from the one that we are present with today in our living reality of the moment. And I think that's pretty exciting. So congratulations.
Donna, thank you so much. I think this is, I know Bill has inspired me. This whole project has been very healing for me with the grief aspect. but it's right now it has awakened my creativity, and I'm sharing that because I'm so excited about it, and I really hope that this does help people in a multitude of ways. So I'm very excited about going forward with this project and my future art and writing.
Well, that is a very, very positive growth factor that I think all of us should remember. We all have the opportunity to experience if we're willing to take the risk to step into new territory, which is what you did after Bill died. Thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Donna.
We're saying goodbye to Ksenia Merk. We're going to take a break for just a moment. I want to repeat her website. It's merckiipress.com. I'm taking a flash of time here just to share a few words with you, and I'll be right back. The Donna Sebo Show is heard weekdays, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Callers are welcome to call in during the second half of the program at 253-582-5597. Please note that the announcement is made at the bottom of the hour if I'm not in studio, able to take phone calls. Warriors for Peace is heard every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. For current information regarding my email newsletter, programming, and appearances, go to DelphiInternational.com. For information on publications, including my award-winning children's books, audiobooks, and more, go to MrsSebo'sClassics.com. This is Donna Sebo. If you or someone you know is an author and would like to be interviewed on The Donna Sebo Show or Warriors for Peace, please send a copy of the publication along with contact information, phone number, email, and website to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 99015, Lakewood, Washington 98496. That's The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 99015, Lakewood, Washington 98496. Please allow 6 to 8 weeks for review. Thank you. Well, who's coming up on The Donna Sebo Show and Warriors for Peace? Wow, what a week. Have you had power outages where you are? We had them. Yes, Monday, power outages. Tuesday, the internet goes down. Today, the sun was shining. There was no wind blowing. And the printer breaks up. Don't you love it when the technological pixies are doing their work saying, "We're bored." Okay, well, I wish they'd leave me alone because it is just absolutely unbelievably, well, could I say frustrating? It's not worth saying frustrating. Okay, who have we got coming up on the Donna Sebo Show? Now, tomorrow, the 16th, is an open mic hour. That's the first thing I wanted to tell you. So if you wanted to call in and chat with me tomorrow evening, you're going to be able to do that. Now, I tentatively had a guest scheduled, but because nothing was really confirmed, then I have been telling you, I wasn't sure whether or not we were going to have the guest. So it is an open mic hour tomorrow evening. And then we're going to close out the week with a very fine man, Ed Tick. Ed has been on my show before, and this is a man who's done a lot of work with veterans, but we're going to be talking about Greece. And Greece is, I would say, almost like a second home for Ed. He's been traveling there for years. And he talks about the most interesting places and the history in Greece. And, of course, for those of us that have, read Ulysses and other items relating to Greek history, it's just amazing. And, of course, it established a lot of principles that today we even utilize. And there are all those very famous people that believed in freedom and the rights of the individual. Oh, excuse me, women weren't counted at the time. But it was the rights of the male individual. But anyhow, I'm being a little sarcastic there. But that's beside the point. Anyway, we've got a great lineup. And then Warriors for Peace next week is going to be with Chris Adams. And we are going to be chatting with him about his book. Now, Chris is a retired general. And he is a man that has a history that is absolutely phenomenal. And we're going to be talking about his latest publication. He's published a number of books, both fiction and nonfiction. So we've got an incredible lineup of guests, and I'll be filling in more information for you. But I wanted to also remind you, those of you that are in Washington, there is the semi-annual event of the BEPC Expo, and that is in Kent Commons, Kent, Washington. And that's this coming Saturday. I am going to be both a keynote speaker as well as a vendor, and also, you might say, the master of ceremonies for the Psychic Showcase on Saturday morning. I'm going to be there both Saturday and Sunday. But I wanted you to know about that. And remember, the hours are 11 to 6 on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. Now, if you go to their website, bepcweb.org, if you do that, then what you will be able to do is find out all about their special classes that they have going on. And it is just amazing, all of the talented people that will be there. And it's free. And this is one of the oldest events of its kind in the state of Washington. It's over 40 years of age. We've been doing this for a long, long time. And it's just a great family outing. There's going to be a food truck there. Beverages will be available for anybody that's interested in purchasing them. Hot beverages, because we have really gotten cold temperatures here in the state of Washington. So it's a wonderful, wonderful event. And I just wanted you to be aware of that, and if you want, come to the Psychic Showcase that starts on both Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m., and that is free also, and you get to see and perhaps even interact with some of those talented people that will be at the showcase. So this is something that gives you as an individual, if you're wanting to explore your own particular intuitive capabilities, you get to see some people work and find that it's really just as normal as breathing. But it does take discipline to be able to develop your skills. So anyway, that's this weekend. And that is the final show of the year for the BEPC organization. Again, that's the 18th and 19th. That's coming this coming Saturday and Sunday. Also, I want to remind those of you that are busy working and you're saying, Donna, I'd like to listen to your shows, but I can't do it, blah, 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 that you make all kinds of comments about how you don't want to miss it. Remember, the shows are available 24/7 to you. That's right. On the player, it's the latest 13 to 15 hours of programming. And that's just one show right after the other. Then you have the archives. Now, the shows are in chronological order. So just remember that you go in and the latest shows are going to be at the bottom of the list because they're in chronological order, and we have hundreds of shows. So just go in and take your time, listen to whatever you want, and just know that on certain days, like this, like tomorrow, the 16th, then you're going to be able to call in if you want and chat with me at any time during the hour. If you find the line busy, then just go ahead and keep trying until you're able to get through. All right, so that being said, I wanted to share with you this evening, and by the way, the phone line is open right now, 253-582-5597. That is the telephone number that you can call in and speak to me directly. And I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. There is a lady I've had on my show, oh, multiple times through the years. Her name is Margaret Ann Lembo. And Margaret Ann has written about gemstones and animal totems. And I thought I'd share a couple of those with you this evening, because many times when we think of animal totems, we think of certain species, like your wolves, your bears, your eagles. People often think of those particular aspects with a commonality of attitude. And most people think that the wolves are amazing, eagles are phenomenal, and I couldn't agree with you more. However, Margaret Ann did research, and I wanted to share with you the earthworm. Mm-hmm. And she said the earthworm, and we all know that earthworms, they're burrowers. They are wonderful things for the soil. And they dig in and they move things around and they create a kind of compost. They're just absolutely fabulous for the soil. Well, as a totem, and don't go, ooh, who'd want that as a totem? Well, let me share with you what Marianne found out about the earthworm. She said the earthworm is an ally that helps you become more flexible in your views on life. And it is going to be representative of your particular individual special journey of self-awareness. Now remember, the earthworm doesn't have any skeletal structure. It is extraordinarily flexible as it burrows through the earth. And they are, as I just mentioned, the ultimate composter. And of course, gardeners love them. And by Jove, they are going to be something that shows you, if you think about it, the earthworm actually can reproduce itself. So that means if you were to really work on yourself as an individual, that particular totem would show that you can get through some of the most difficult environments without a lot of commotion, and by golly, you make a difference, because everything you do recycles what could be considered negative into something that is positive. And then you have many, many layers to yourself. You should embrace your talents and recognize that you can go with confidence into sometimes arenas of activity that other people wouldn't even be bothered with. And you're not caught up with what seems to be impossible. Now, there is a stone that she associates with the earthworm, and I've never heard of this stone, but it's called stromatolite, S-T-R-O-M-A-T-O-L-I-T-E. Now, this stone, she said, is one of the oldest fossils on Earth, more than 3 billion years old, and it's a layered kind of a stone. And the records of life on Earth actually can be found in this stone. And she said the stromatolites carry the energy of dislodging any stored information that's causing a repetitive pattern in your emotional consciousness. So this stone is a very nice companion with the earthworm because it enables you to break through what otherwise you might not think is possible for you to break through to or into. And I found, wow, that is really something that is interesting. All right, so you have the earthworm. So what's another one? How about the firefly? The first time I saw actual fireflies was in the Carolinas. And my husband and I were visiting his brother, his eldest brother. My husband came from a family of 10 kids. Oh, that just makes me tired every time I think of having 10 kids. Whoa. Anyway, this is something that his family, being back in Virginia, fireflies and, you know, the Carolinas, the South, they are accustomed to that. Well, the first time I ever saw them, because I'm a Southern California gal, we didn't have them in California, at least not where I lived. Anyway, we go there, and it was magical, absolutely magical, to sit on my adopted relatives on their front porch in rocking chairs, which are very traditional in the South, and to watch, just to sit. You don't even want to talk. You watch them dance through the air, and they are just absolutely wonderful. Well, if you had the firefly as a totem, it means you are going to be visible to others. Maybe you're going to be a speaker. You need to make it okay to be in the public, because that's what fireflies do. They light up the world around them. And I didn't know, but fireflies actually hibernate. And you are a person, if you have that as a totem, the firefly, it shows that you can go within do your reflection, meditation, whatever it is, and you're not afraid of being alone. And you just light everything up. When you do, go out into the public with your family, friends, or maybe in your work. You make a difference. You really, really do. And it's important for you to take time for yourself. And they have a natural protective mechanism from predators. They don't taste very good. Mm-mm. Why? Because they have a poisonous chemical in their body. So you have the capability of protecting yourself and making sure that you are in the right place at the right time, doing what you feel is the right thing for you to do. So you just are someone, if that was a totem that you felt a resonance with, you've got something that's very, very special. Now, the matching gemstone with that, it is apophyllite. Mm-hmm. A-P-O-P-H-Y-L-L-I-T-E. I didn't even know that stone existed. Of course, that has never been my specialty. And it looks like a quartz. Absolutely fabulous. And what this stone does, it helps with focus. Absolute focus. You have, if that is your totem, and I don't know of many people that choose the firefly as a totem or have had that in their world, but I know there's a friend of mine, and the dragonfly was the totem for her. She said every time the dragonfly showed up, she knew she was going to have an absolutely fabulous day. And if she was working on a challenge, whenever that dragonfly would show up, she said sometimes it would be on my windshield. It was like it was waiting for her. Sometimes she'd be working on a project, and maybe she was getting discouraged, and it was as if the dragonfly would show up to let her know she had nothing to be concerned about. So it's not just animals. It can be bugs. It can be birds. It can be, you know, the totems of the natural world are absolutely amazing. So I thought I would share that with you. And I don't know about you, but when the temperatures start getting on the cold side, and believe me, they were almost at the freezing level when it was 33 degrees here on Monday morning. And it surprised a lot of people, but hey, that's what we go through here in the Pacific Northwest. We've had absolutely a totally amazing summer. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but it's like the baking bug traditionally sort of just wakes me up and says, okay, the weather's cooler. You can, you know, bake some cookies or bread or, you know, do something and it makes the house smell so good. So that's what I did. It just has to do with the seasons. And I've been baking bread like crazy, fixing, you know, a soup and all kinds of things that can be simmered slowly, maybe in the oven or in a crock pot. And there's just this magic when you come into a home and it's warm and those smells of good food and or bread or cookies, baked items, whatever you might do. I don't know, it's after a busy day, it just sort of helps you relax and melt into a coziness that I think is totally addicting when the weather gets really, really cool. Well, I've got a recipe here for something that may or may not be what your taste buds might be interested in, but I like chicken and I like figs. And there is this wonderful recipe that I came across. It's pita pockets with fresh figs and roasted chicken. And figs sometimes come out. They come in from different countries, but they are wonderfully flavorful, perfect with cheeses. I've got a friend that just loves to have a cheese tray with her favorite breads and the figs. And, you know, she'll dry them. She has fig trees on her property, and she said, oh, it's just absolutely delicious. Well, this recipe is something that I think, honestly, would please just about anybody's palate. And this is what you need. You need 1/4 cup of coarsely chopped walnuts. You could change that to almonds, macadamia nuts, whatever's your preference. I have a friend that's allergic to walnuts, so this is not something that we would want to serve for her. We would change the nut. 1 cup of shredded roasted chicken breast and thighs. You want to remove the skin. 1/4 cup of chopped onion. 1 teaspoon of fresh oregano or 1/4 teaspoon of dried oregano leaves. 3/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, divided. 1 cup of mixed baby greens. 1 cup of sliced fresh figs. 1/2 cup of crumbled feta cheese. 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. 2 teaspoons of white balsamic vinegar. And 4 white or whole wheat pita rounds cut crosswise to form pockets. I've baked pita, and oh, it is so much fun when you bake it. They just come out wonderfully. They puff up. It's really, really fun to bake. Anyway, this is what you do. You're going to have a small skillet. You heat it up. You put your walnuts in it. Now, you don't need to add any oil or anything like that. Just cook them for 3 minutes until they're lightly browned, and there will be a little bit of a fragrance that you'll notice, and then put them to the side just to cool. And then in a big bowl, you're going to take your shredded chicken and red onion with the oregano and 1/4 teaspoon of the black pepper. Add the greens, the figs, the feta cheese, and toasted walnuts or nuts of your choice, and drizzle it with oil and vinegar. And then you sprinkle the remaining 1/8 teaspoon of black pepper and toss to mix well. And then, of course, it's a piece of cake after that. You're going to divide the mixture into 8 portions and spoon it into the pita pockets. And you can serve it. And if you want, you might want to have a little side thing of sour cream, because that's something that I think goes along nicely with the feta cheese and the other ingredients. But the thing is it's so easy. And this was a recipe that was shared by the California Figs organization. And I thought, gee whiz, that is really quite delightful. And, you know, use your imagination. And of course, in today's world, you may not have the time to have a bunch of cold chicken sitting around. Well, you can get a roasted chicken at your local grocery store. And there you've got your white meat, your dark meat, and you just take it off of the chicken that's already been cooked for you. And this is just fast and easy and delicious. And it really is wonderful to have, or maybe even take to work if that's something that you wanted to consider doing, keeping the salad in a container and your pita bread, you know, wrap that up. And then when it's time to take a break and have something to munch and crunch, by golly, you've got it. You've got everything ready to go. You just put it in the pita, maybe have that little bit of extra sour cream on the side or whatever else might be your pleasure, and you have got it made. So there you go. There are flavors that are absolutely complementary to each other and make the world we live in a much more pleasant place. Sometimes I think, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get in a rut with food. And I'll have the same thing because it's easy. I'll make up a batch of food so I don't have to be bothered with preparing anything. And I'll sometimes have soup, or I'll have shredded meat of some kind that I've prepared. And I just put them in containers in the freezer and then pull it out as I want. And like I said, sometimes I get repetitive because I'm just too busy. I just don't want to be bothered with having to do anything. Now, it's different when I have a day where I can fiddle around in the kitchen. But I really, you know, it's something that I think sometimes we just need to bring in a little bit of variation in our diet. I know I do. And one of the simplest ways is to make soups or to have dishes that can have lots of vegetables in them, things that, you know, a good bread that goes with it. It's just delightful. So I'll be sharing different stories with you about different recipes and people that I've encountered and dishes that they have shared with me that I have thoroughly enjoyed. So I just wanted to pass that along. Oh, my goodness. Well, I have been going on, and it's time for me to say goodbye. Donna Sebo here. I'll share more with you tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Be well. I'll be talking with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.